there. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. On today's podcast, I'm interviewing the doctor who had the single biggest influence on me deciding to attend naturopathic medical school. So it's my real pleasure to introduce my guest today. My guest is Dr. Mitch Fleischer, and we're discussing homeopathy. Dr. Mitch Fleischer is a double board certified family physician specializing in classical homeopathy, nutritional and botanical medicine, with over 30 years experience practicing integrative medicine. He attended Stanford University School of Medicine, during which time he began studying homeopathy in 1975. Dr. Fleischer has served as an active member of the clinical faculty of the National Center for Homeopathy, a clinical instructor for the University of Virginia Health Sciences Center, and at the Medical College of Virginia, where he has taught homeopathy in the complementary medicine programs. He continues to lecture throughout the U.S. and internationally on classical homeopathy and nutritional therapy. Dr. Fleischer is in private practice in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains in Nellie's Ford, Virginia. On today's show, Dr. Fleischer explains how he has helped numerous patients overcome skin and health conditions with homeopathy. There are many questions about homeopathy, what it is, how it works, and ways to use it as at home as well as in clinical settings. And Dr. Fleischer covers all of this and more in today's podcast. So please enjoy this interview. Dr. Mitch, it's so great to have you back on my show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dr. Trevor. You're looking great.
Great. So are you, as always. So we're talking today about homeopathy. I can't believe I haven't covered homeopathy on my show before. And it, you know, you were my introduction to homeopathy and gave me so much great information and direction. You're really the person, one of the main people that guided me to go to naturopathic medical school. And it was in part because of homeopathy. So I'm excited to talk about homeopathy today, a whole podcast dedicated to homeopathy. So let's start with, what is homeopathy? There's a lot of confusion about what it is.
Okay, well, that's a big, big topic, but we'll try to condense it as much as we can. Well, the term homeopathy comes from the words homeos pathos, Greek words meaning similar suffering, because the whole system of medicine is based on the law of similars, which is a principle in nature that basically says that a substance that can be that can cause a certain set of symptoms, physically, emotionally, mentally, in a subject, in like an experimental study, can be used to treat or cure a similar set of symptoms in someone who has those in any disease process. That is the idea of like cures like. It's sort of similar to the idea that if you were to get an infection of some sort, say on your hand, and it was puffy and pink, and it stung, and when you put something cold on it, it felt better. But if that inflamed, puffy, pink thing were infection were in the heat of the sun, it would burn and hurt worse. That particular symptom pattern, if you look at that, it's very similar to what happens if you were stung by a bee, because a bee has formic acid and other things in it, but it causes a similar set of symptoms. It makes the skin get puffy and pink and swollen and baggy, and it's better from cold and worse from hot. So when you make a homeopathic preparation of the bee, Apis mellifica, and you give it to somebody who has a very similar set of symptoms, not caused by a bee sting, but caused by a different condition, in this case an infection, that would stimulate the body's innate ability and heal it. So essentially, what a homeopathic medicine does is by taking into account someone's specific physical symptoms and the unique way in which they experience those physical symptoms, that is the sensations, whether it's burning, stinging, aching, throbbing, whatever it may be, and then what makes that those symptoms better or worse, is it better by heat or cold or what time of the day, all of what we call the modalities. When you look at the sensations, the modalities, the part of the body that's affected, what makes those symptom patterns unique to that kind of individual? Because you can have a dozen people with, say, a headache, a migraine, and all of them might need a different remedy homeopathically depending on the display of the symptoms. So we look at all the physical symptoms in the person's entire body, everything they're experiencing. Then we also look at their emotional body or emotional symptoms. What kind of worrying they do, their anxiety, their despair, their depression, their grief, their entire emotional history, and the way they respond to their environment, to a given situation, a given stimulus, and then how they respond in general. And after we have the physical and emotional, we also looked at someone's mental body. That is, the kind of thoughts they tend to think, their beliefs, their dreams, their daydreams, their delusions. And then, when we do an analysis homeopathically, we have a look at all the physical, all the emotional, all the mental symptoms, and we look at the nexus, the crossroads, where they all come together. And then that group of symptoms that represents the totality of their disease process, that really is an expression of the inner imbalance in that individual. And if you took one symptom away, it wouldn't be them. Once we have that holistic paradigm, that holistic model of a given individual, we then analyze it. And a process called reparatorization, and we also read it in the Materia Medica, which is the homeopathic book. It's like the encyclopedia of all of the remedies. And we find that one remedy that matches the symptom pattern that someone's experiencing from their disease condition most similarly. And we want to find what's called the homeopathic similimum, or the most similar remedy. And the idea being is that similimum, when it's really the right-on, exact bullseye remedy, will act as a very profound, gentle, and deep-acting and long-acting bioenergetic, not biochemical, bioenergetic catalyst or stimulus to give your God-given innate defense mechanism the energy and information to do what it would have done to begin with. So the correct homeopathic remedy, whether it's given in an acute case or a chronic, really constitutional case, acts as a way in kickstarting your own healing mechanism, so it brings about balance physically, emotionally, mentally over time. And I've found that reproduced thousands of times over my 42-year career. And that I'll give you a perfect example. When I was working at the Blue Ridge Medical Center, which was an area health education center in Lovingston, Virginia, and the rural Virginia, I was working there part-time as a family physician, regular family physician, and part-time as a homeopath. So there are a lot of people there who are like querulous, who is this homeopathic doctor there? And they would occasionally bring me their cases because nothing else would work. Well, one day, one of the nurses brings her little four-year-old daughter into the back office area, and we had a little emergency room exit, and it was right by my office. And she came in with her daughter and was chatting with one of the nurses excitedly because her daughter had just been stung by a bunch of yellow jackets, and she was really concerned because she was covered with hives from head to toe. You know, welts, that's what people, and the medical term for it is urticaria, big, swollen, puffy, itchy, stingy lesions. And she was whimpering out there. So she came, the little girl, while her mother was talking, came around into my office and stood at the door because the sun was blazing in through the back door, where the emergency room door, and I noticed she was trying to get in the shadow of my room. And I just looked at her and I saw urticaria, puffy hives all over her body, and I overheard it was bee stings, yellow jacket stings, and I noticed that she was trying to avoid the heat of the sun. So immediately in my mind, I thought, I think I know what remedy this is. So I just knelt down and asked her, does it feel better when you're in the shadows? And she nodded her head. And I said, what if you put your hand in, would you put your hand in the sun? And she, no, because it really hurt her. And I got a high potency 1M, because the higher the potency, the more powerfully it acts and more rapidly it acts. And I simply said, I have some candy for you. Would you like that? She says, sure. And I gave her a couple of pellets right on her tongue. And I just sat down and watched her. And over the course of the next 5 minutes, where her mother's chatting with the other nurse in the hallway, I watched from above downwards as the hives slowly disappeared down the child's face all the way down. And by the time the nurse was looking around, where's my daughter? She came and saw her in my office and looked at her and was like, with a look of surprise, what happened to you? And she looked at me and said, what did you do? I said, I gave her a remedy. I had another case, if you'd like me to share. I had a young woman come to me who I'd been treating for her pregnancy. And actually, she had been infertile, and I gave her a homeopathic remedy despite her having gone to all the infertility clinics and doing all the gift workups and spending up to like $50,000 trying to get pregnant. They couldn't. After one dose of a homeopathic remedy, sepia, which fit her case beautifully, she was pregnant in 2 months.
Those are great stories. And, you know, I think it's really important to point out that that homeopathy, this type of medicine, is so different than other types of medicine. And you being trained as a conventional medical doctor and then switching over to this, you definitely, I'm sure, have seen the very difference in these types of medicine. And even natural medicine, where someone will have a symptom and will be given an herb for it, or somebody will have like kidney stones, for example. There's certain herbs that are known for kidney stones, or, you know, certain medical treatments for that. But with homeopathy, it's so much more than the physical presentation. Like you're talking about the emotional state, all the things that you observe as a homeopath. I have so much respect for homeopathic practitioners, because there's so much that you have to take in to understand the patient and the state that they're in. But, you know, I think it makes it hard for people, though, for the general public, for conventional doctors, to really embrace homeopathy, because it's so different. If you're not trained in homeopathy and you don't see the success stories like you and I have seen, it's hard for people to wrap their head around this different way of treatment. So, I mean, is there anything that you could say for those people that are watching this that are like, how is this possible that this medicine works?
Well, that's a good point. When I first was introduced to the whole ideas of homeopathy, it seemed counterintuitive to me. It didn't make any sense because I was grounded in biochemistry, and that was I had a major in biology and a minor in biochemistry. And so I was grounded in traditional science and saying, how could something where allegedly there's no molecules in it all, how that could work? And I didn't quite believe it. I wanted the Missouri idea, show me, prove it to me. I decided I'm going to find out for myself. And I started joining study groups with other doctors and medical students and nurses to study the principles underlying it. One of the instructors did that was very clever was to say, look, there are certain acute homeopathic remedies you don't need to know a lot about to be able to prescribe for yourself. One of them is a remedy called Arnica Montana. It's a very, very well-known remedy. It's one of the Compositae family which are known for injury. And if you were to take a toxic dose of Arnica Montana, which is also known as leopard's bane, it would cause the capillaries in your skin and your body to swell up and get inflamed, get it sore and leak, and you get bruises all over your body. And this is known because shepherds in Switzerland and Austria, if they went up in the mountains and their sheep ate the Arnica, they would start bleeding from their nose and be really sore and be really, really achy. So from the homeopathic perspective, we know that if you have a substance that produces a certain set of symptoms in either a toxicological study, when you're toxified from it, or in a research study to look and see what the symptoms are, you can use that set of symptoms to then give it to somebody who has the actual disease process and a similar set of symptoms. This is what's done in homeopathic research. So if someone were to really knock their thigh against a shelf, or they walk into the kitchen and they really knock themselves really hard and they know they're going to get a bruise in their hip, or they hit themselves in the head and said, oh God, I know I'm going to get a bruise. What you can do is take a dose of Arnica yourself, and you don't need to do a big prescription about it. You don't need to go into an in-depth case. You can take some Arnica 30C, a few doses, 5 pellets dissolved on the tongue, and watch what's happened. And in actuality, when I used to have medical students from the University of Virginia and Medical College of Virginia come to my office as part of their training program, there was initially an introductory program to complementary medicine, MCV and UVA. And they would send the students down and I would give them an introduction to homeopathy like we're doing now. And I'd say, well, don't believe me on all. I would show, not only would I tell them about the philosophy and the history and the science and how to take a case, and I would show them some of my cured cases out of my thousands of records, I would say, here's some samples of homeopathic remedy. I would give them a tube of arnica, and I would give them a tube of hypericum, which is St. John's wort. And I would say, if you knock yourself, like you know you're going to get a bruise, take the arnica, and here's how to take it. 5 pellets dissolved on the tongue every half an hour to an hour for about 4 doses until it goes away, and see what happens to the bruise. Hypericum perforatum, or St. John's wort, is an incredibly wonderful remedy for treating any sort of nervous tissues that's been injured. And for say, for example, you know, if you've had the miserable opportunity of squeezing your fingertip in a car door or kind of a closet door or anything like that, and it just shooting pains up the arm, and the nail gets bruised, you may get a blood clot on the nail, and you might lose the nail. Very typical thing, a sublingual hematoma. That's a pretty common experience. However, if that happens to you, like whether it's a child or adult, you can give hypericum perforatum in that moment. Again, 30 C potency is fine, 200 if you've got it. 3 to 5 pellets dissolved in the tongue. Take it every 15 to 30 minutes for a couple of doses. And very often, the pain goes away within the first or second dose. Within a day, the clot and bruising disappears, and the nerve pain's gone, and you don't lose your nail. And I've treated hundreds of cases like that, and I teach my patients to have arnica and hypericum at home, just in case of these emergencies. And I could have an encyclopedic book of cases of parents telling me, I can't believe how quickly that remedy worked, because it's homeopathic to the symptoms of the case. And that's another point I want to make. You know, a lot of people, especially scientists and doctors, complain, oh, but there's nothing in it. How could it possibly work? Well, that's based on the old physical paradigm of medicine, you know, where everything's biochemical, everything's chemistry, and working just on the physical level. Homeopathy does not work on the physical level. It works on the bioenergetic level, which is deeper. It's deep. It's the bioenergetic level is what actually controls the structure and function moment to moment of the physical, mental, and emotional body. So it's a priori to it, comes before. And so from a clinical perspective, it's very easy to ascertain the effectiveness of homeopathy using these acute remedies. And I've been teaching homeopathic study groups for over 30 years, teaching families how to use acute homeopathic remedies, and prevented a lot of emergency room visits and prevented a lot of problems getting worse just by their own self-care. And I actually have a website that teaches people how to use things for bee stings. And I have a differential diagnosis. Like I give this particular remedy, and I give the description of the symptoms that you'd have, physical, emotionally, mentally. And if you have these symptoms, try this one. If this doesn't work, go to that one. So you have a differential diagnosis of the remedies until you hit the right one.
And what's that website?
That website is alternativedoctormcare.com.
Okay.
And in fact, on that website, I actually have a blog. If you go to the website and go hit on the header that says blog, there is a video there that summarizes all of the most current scientific research, very solid scientific research, supporting the foundations of homeopathic science. It's extremely well done. It was put together by doctors from India who have been practicing homeopathy unobstructed for over 100 years. And they did a really excellent job summarizing all the most current research and where to look it up yourself if you want to. It's really quite remarkable.
I just think it's so important for people to be informed about homeopathy and to try it out. Since a lot of my audience are concerned about skin issues, can we talk about maybe she could share some cases about how homeopathy can help with skin issues?
I've had cases of psoriasis in adults. And psoriasis is not only an allergic phenomenon, it's actually an autoimmune phenomena. That is, you're allergic to yourself. You're allergic to there's 5 layers of skin in your body. And so it's an allergy to the cells in the stratum spinosum, and they become hyperinflamed and create thickened plaques of skin that when it peels off, it bleeds. It's very, very uncomfortable. And I treat that with a combination of homeopathic treatment to stimulate the vital force, the body's ability to heal itself, along with nutritional therapy. I find that virtually almost every patient I've ever treated with psoriasis are all gluten sensitive. or all, and I, you know, I don't even have to do the blood test, but I do them anyway to confirm it, to convince them. But I haven't had a single case of psoriasis that hasn't had some degree of celiac positivity. They, you know, even if it's not blatant, if they don't have, to have true celiac disease, you have to be IgA, immunoglobulin A positive. But there's a lot of patients who are IgE and IgG, different antibodies positive, and they will all have the whole range of celiac-like symptoms, but it tends not to so much affect the gut. Those people tend to get it of the skin and the lungs and the brain. And so I take them off of all glutens and sometimes all grains and get them on vegetables and fruits and other foods they're not allergic to, and then I give them homeopathic treatment. That combination together will cure the psoriasis or make it tremendously better. I just recently had a case, and she had developed guttate psoriasis, which is patches of psoriasis over the body with weeping, itchy, horribly burning lesions that were much worse when she felt cold, which is counterintuitive. Usually a hot, burning lesion feels better with cold. Hers were worse from cold. They were more itchy, worse at night, to the point where she was incredibly restless and had to get up out of bed and just pace around, and better from a hot bath. And what was really interesting is that she would feel much better from a scalding hot bath that you and I would get burned in. She loved it. It would make the psoriasis feel better. So I took that pattern of symptoms together. Someone who has itching, burning rashes all over their body, which were weepy. Some were weepy, some were dry. Who was extremely restless, who was worse from cold and better from scalding heat, and got up in the middle of the night restless and was irritable. And one other thing, she craved milk, which is a symptom of this remedy. The remedy was Rustox, Rustox cadendron, poison ivy, which makes it a really nasty rash that we know is usually worse, better from hot bathing. And even when you get a poison ivy and a rash out in the woods, it's that same pattern of symptoms. So I just used the homeopathicity or similarity between the poison ivy eruption and the psoriasis eruption to find the right remedy. And after giving her a dose, I gave her 200 C potency for 3 days in a row because it was all over her body and she was completely miserable. And she said she called me 4 days later to say it's not burning or itching as much. And the next time I saw her at the 8 to 9 week follow-up, it was virtually completely gone and she was totally thrilled, totally thrilled. This is the kind of thing we see. I mean, also I got her off of all gluten and the blood test came back that she was celiac positive. She was celiac variant positive. She was not IgA, she was IgG off the charts. So I took her off all the grains. I made her stop the milk, which was also allergic. And what's very interesting, I find this a lot, is that we tend to be allergic to the very things we crave. Rustox tends to crave milk, cold milk. And here she was allergic to it and any of the very thing that would make her psoriasis work. So I got her to stop that, take the remedy, and it all went away. And now she can have some of those foods without the same reactivity that she had before. So homeopathy doesn't only treat acute situations, as we mentioned initially, but deep chronic autoimmune conditions. I've treated multiple sclerosis homeopathically with nutrition too, that's successfully. I've treated systemic lupus erythematosus, where people are nearly on their deathbed. I've treated patients who have malignancies with homeopathy nutritional therapy successfully. So it's not only acute conditions, it's very complex, deep, complicated disease processes can be treated effectively with homeopathy. But those are the kind of things that require somebody with tertiary care training, and I'll be able to help myself, because they're a lot of work and require a lot of expertise. But it's so gratifying to see someone like that improve rather than just suffer and die. It's quite gratifying. A lot of work, but worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to reiterate that if people are hearing symptoms that they have, that it's, you know, if it's a chronic, more complicated case, it's better to work with a homeopath, not just try and start experimenting with the remedies that you've mentioned. Unless it's an acute case like with the Arnica or Hypericum, those are simple. But yes, keeping in mind that it's a combination, it's not just the physical symptom, but also a lot of these mental states, emotional states, the ameliorations of hot or cold, warm drinks or temperature. These are the kinds of things that help people pick the homeopathic remedy that's going to help them the most. And right, I think it's great for our audience to start becoming aware of, especially acute homeopathy is a great place to start with, like the Arnica and the Hypericum. And I want you to talk to us now about the access to homeopathy, because right now you can go into a health food store and you can pick up a homeopathic remedy. They come in little tubes or little white pellets, usually is how they're administered. And like you mentioned, something like the 30C, 12C, 6C, those are the kinds of potencies you see in health food stores. And even some pharmacies have them. And it's great that we have that access for acute conditions. But as you and I have talked about, and why I wanted to have you on, is there's been a threat to homeopathy and our access to it.
That's very true. One of the biggest issues of the years, a lot of people don't realize it, but the very first national medical organization in the United States was founded in 1844. That was the American Institute of Homeopathy. And they opened the doors to all doctors, whether they were the homeopathic doctors or Thomasonians or biologists or electrical doctors. They weren't chiropractors back then, or osteopaths just then. But also to the allopathic doctors, to everybody. But 3 years later, in 1847, the second national medical organization was formed, the AMA, the American Medical Association. And in the founding charter of the AMA is that they said, we allopaths are coming together to crush the scourge of homeopathy. And the reason was this. In small town Illinois or wherever there were people, there would be a couple of allopaths working in town. And in those days, back in the 1800s, they didn't have very many tools. They were bloodletting, they were leeching, they were scoring people and burning them, and they were using horrible tools that were poisoning people. They were using calomel, which is a form of organic mercury, to what they called puke and purge somebody, to drive the evil humors out of the body. It was just primitive, barbaric medicine. So when a homeopath came into town with these incredibly safe, incredibly effective remedies, within a very short period of time, everybody in town was going to the homeopath, and the allopaths were going out of business. We have to realize the AMA, the American Medical Association, is not an organization that's come together to protect the American people, the public, healthcare access. They are a trade organization that are meant to protect their business interests. And they didn't like the fact they were losing business. But at the time, in the 1840s and 50s, there wasn't much they could do about it because the public demand was very high for homeopathy. And homeopathy was extremely, the way that homeopathy really spread across the United States is there were several epidemics and pandemics of cholera, of scarlet fever, of all kinds of infectious illnesses, which was another one cause of death back in the 1800s, in the early 1900s. And whereas allopathic medicine was completely useless for a lot of those conditions, homeopathic medicine was extremely effective. There are, in the medical literature, the homeopathic hospitals and the patients who went to homeopathic physicians, those communities all survived. They did fine. The cholera went away. Whereas the communities that only had allopathic doctors, they lost most of their population. That's an established fact. That's an established fact. And that actually exists today because there were some epidemics in South America of cholera and other illnesses like that where the patients were dying from just taking antibiotics. When Homeopaths Without Borders went down there and treated them for free, the people were all getting better. The same thing happened in Haiti and in Cuba. So we have both ancient and modern examples of how homeopathy was very effective in the treatment of the public health. And it was because that was the reason that it spread like wildfire across the United States, simply because homeopathy works. That's all. Inexpensive, cost-effective, safe medicine. All right? Around the end of the Civil War, the beginning of the advent of the industrial era, these large chemical companies started growing up. And these chemical companies realized that they could make a lot of money selling patent drugs. And that's where Merck, Sharp & Dohme and a lot of these different large pharmaceutical companies were born. And they realized that the only way they're going to make any money is to sell large material doses of these drugs. And the only ones that were doing that were the allopaths. Because in homeopathy, what we do is we use a process of potentization where we know that if you give a large material dose of a substance that's very, very similar to the disease process, it'll cause a really big aggravation. So there was a process created for making a smaller and smaller dose of the medicine so that you're getting a very small material dose but a more purified bioenergetic dose. The process of potentization of serial dilution and serial succussion actually give what it does, it sort of extracts the electromagnetic principle of the original material substance and purifies it. And the higher the potency, the going from 6C to 12C, 30C, 200, 1M and above, you have less and less material substance, but stronger and stronger, more purified and concentrated bioenergetic substance. And it's that, because the remedies are based on a bioenergetic principle, not a biochemical principle, the more clear the symptom pattern, like if you know it's this, it's got to be this remedy and nothing else because the symptom pattern fits that, you can give a higher potency remedy and it acts on a bioenergetic level, go deeply into the organism to stimulate the defense mechanism to heal itself. And that's exactly what it does. But that idea of bioenergetics is not well understood or accepted by traditional medicine, by traditionally trained people, even though there are quite a few research studies for the last several decades that have shown that there is a biophysical principle underlying homeopathy that was previously not understood. And there's a whole new field of medicine developing called nanomedicine, where they're recognizing from the research that if you go to that website, go to the blog, that really well done video summarizes a lot of the nanomedicine that's been discovered, where they've done all kinds of nuclear magnetics resonance studies and spectroscopy studies, all the most sophisticated biophysical, biochemical experimentation you could possibly do, as good if not better than what traditional medicine research does. And they've proved that there's something there in homeopathic remedies beyond the material dose. There is a bioenergetic principle there, and it can be measured. And this is one of the bones of contention between what's going on with the federal government's regulation of homeopathic medicine and the worldwide homeopathic movement that I want to address. Just over the past year, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, different meetings with different kinds of doctors, mostly allopathic and conventional doctors and a few homeopathic doctors and researchers, about OTC homeopathic medicines, whether there was any scientific validity to them and whether they really worked or not, based on the homeopathic principles. And the sad thing about it, even though there is a large literature of homeopathic research that's been vetted even by regular straight doctors and researchers and said, yeah, this is good research compared to any other research, the FTC commissioners chose to ignore it, chose to not accept any of the research that was presented to them, and made the claim there is no research behind homeopathy that supports it. In fact, let me go. I actually have the website up. I can read to you what the FTC said. First of all, they made the claim that on the FTC website, they say that homeopathy dates back to the 1700s, when in fact, homeopathic medicine really came to be in 1810, when Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, published the first book on homeopathy, The Organon of the Healing Arts. So really, it's not in the 1700s, it was 1810. He was just doing preliminary research up until then. The policy statement notes that the FTC has long recognized that marketing claims may include additional explanatory information to prevent the claims from being misleading. Accordingly, it recognizes an OTC homeopathic drug claim that is not substantiated by competent, reliable scientific evidence might not be deceptive if the advertisement or label where it appears effectively communicates that, one, there is no scientific evidence that the product works, which is wrong, it's a deceit, because they presented the research, they were presented a mountain of research by homeopathic doctors and researchers. The FTC just chose to ignore it, which is unconscionable. And then they make a statement, and two, the product claims are based only on theories of homeopathy from the 1700s that are not accepted by most modern medical experts. One, that's wrong. It's not from the 1700s, it was from the 1800s. And also, who are these modern medical experts? What about all the thousands and thousands of homeopaths with years of experience? I mean, I'm fully trained in allopathic medicine. I was an assistant professor of family medicine at the Medical College of Virginia and UVA. I've trained students for years. I was part of an assistant. I was assistant professor of family medicine at a residency program, and trained doctors in both traditional medicine and homeopathic medicine. And a lot of those doctors saw that there was something to it, even though they didn't understand it. They at least were open-minded to it. This is just such bias and prejudice. It's really shameful that our government is going to do this. And when I looked, when I explored who these commissioners are, that the FTC as well as the FDA are in cahoots, the AMA and Big Pharma, the multinational pharmaceutical complex does not, the big drug industry, they don't want homeopathy around. Why? Because it cuts into maybe 1% of the pie and profit of drugs. And more people are becoming aware of the effectiveness and the safety of homeopathy. And Big Pharma does not like not having ownership of it. They don't want to give up even 0.1% of profit. Homeopathy, if it is still small, there's only maybe 10, 20, 30 million people in the United States that use it regularly. But unfortunately, the powers that be in true public health and welfare, they're interested in bottom line profit. And that's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with the safety or the therapeutic efficacy of homeopathy. It has to do with protecting the profits of the pharmaceutical industry and disinforming the public. And that's what's so shameful about this, because there is research that supports homeopathy worldwide. There is research that shows that it works clinically. In fact, there was a very powerful study that was done by the Swiss government. And it's well known that the Swiss government has a long and widely respected history of neutrality. They've looked at very seriously all systems of medicine, and they want the best for their people. And they published in late 2011 a report on homeopathic medicine that represented the most comprehensive evaluation of homeopathic medicine ever written by a government. And based on that report, over several years, they decided that homeopathy was valid, was therapeutically effective, and they decided to cover homeopathic medicine in their healthcare system. So any Swiss citizen, child or adult, can go to their doctor and get homeopathic medicine covered by their health insurance. So if Switzerland could do that kind of research and show that homeopathy works and do a really good job of it and publish this large study showing how it works very, very fairly and equitably, why can't the United States do that? Why? Because the United States government, unfortunately, is too much in bed with Big Pharma, too much in bed with corporations, and doesn't have the interest of public health and welfare as much in mind as they do in protecting the corporate interest of Big Pharma. And that's the bottom line, and it's really a shame. That needs to change. And I hope you and I can be part of making a change and educating people.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a lot of information for us to all digest. And it's a sad thought that, you know, this possibility that our government wouldn't be looking out for our best interest, or that, that, you know, that there are the FTC or any of these organizations would deny us an access to a form of healthcare that has this long history of working and that doesn't have side effects, that is safe, that's easy for people to use, that creates results. It's a shame that our access to it would be determined by others who don't have the experience that someone like you has. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly what people can do at this point except to be aware of this. Are there any efforts being made to block this? Are there any organizations, homeopathic organizations, that people can support, or any ways that people can be involved in protecting their access?
Yes, absolutely, Trevor. The National Center for Homeopathy, the NCH, in Washington, D.C., is spearheading a movement to educate people and to argue against what the FTC of regulations, because they're ridiculous, they're based on false premises. The false premise is there is no homeopathic research when there's a burgeoning amount of high-quality research, and two, claiming that it's based on unscientific theories from the 1700s, neither of which are true. homeopathic medicine is essentially more scientific than is allopathic medicine. Allopathic medicine is based on reductionistic theories, armchair theorizing about what might happen, whereas homeopathy is based on empirical medicine, watching what exactly happens, observing what happens in nature, not making stuff up, not making up highfalutin theories about what the way things work, but observing the way things really work and going according to nature and what God intended us for this to do. Because our symptoms, physically, emotionally, mentally, are our expression of the inner imbalance. And if you read the physical, mental, emotional symptoms and see the whole pattern of a whole person and treat the whole person with an energetic medicine that stimulates their own healing mechanism, and you respect the fact that we do have a life force, a vital force, a God-given defense mechanism in us, then there's true healing. It's when we ignore that and just treat the brain like with psychotropic psychiatric drugs and suppress that, or just treat the body and ignore the rest of the emotions, that's when trouble happens. That's why there's so many adverse side effects to medications, because they don't take it into consideration. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can do is to educate people. So there's the National Center for Homeopathy, and their website is www.nch.org. That's easy enough to remember. I recommend people join that organization, get their newsletter, contribute to it, and support their effort to educate the public and educate the government and our congressmen about this. Also, there's the American Institute of Homeopathy, AIH.org. That's a national medical organization for healthcare practitioners that take MDs, DOs, NDs, all kinds of licensed healthcare practitioners. Supporting them would be very helpful. And there's several other organizations that are affiliated together trying to educate the public and tell them the truth about homeopathic medicine, not all this nonsense that's out there. Because the other thing I found, you know, I've been involved in helping to support homeopathy for many, many years, as you can well imagine. Back in the late 1990s, there was another threat to homeopathy by the FDA, and they were trying to change the regulations for homeopathy that had been voted in by Congress many years ago. And they had a big meeting at Boron, which is the largest homeopathic manufacturer in the United States, at least it was then, in Philadelphia. And Boron asked me to come give a presentation on homeopathy, just like I'm giving to you. And in those days they didn't have PowerPoints and computers, I just had my slides. And I gave a slide presentation on the history and the science and philosophy and the clinical presentation of homeopathy before all 9 factions of the FDA. And there were a certain group, after I gave the presentation, it was interesting that there were certain groups, part of those groups that were very interesting, the ones that did the monographs, the researchers in the FDA, they were all fascinated and they had no idea homeopathy was so effective. But then there was a small group of the FDA people that were the enforcers, these guys who looked like gorillas with plaid jackets and hairy knuckles, who were actually, one of them was picking his teeth with a toothpick while looking at me up and down. I think he was sizing me up for a coffin. They weren't at all interested in my presentation. They were interested in how they could kill me. So the problem is that within the government itself, there's a lot of confusion and dissension. You have some that are really interested in the truth, and you have some interested in backing up what Big Pharma wants. That's what we have to change. If, you know, one of the things I hope this new administration will do, if they will, I please beg them to, is take out all the conflicts of interest. I mean, there should be no FDA commissioners, no one working in the FDA who's ever worked in Big Pharma. Nor should any FDA agent ever be allowed to then quit their job and go to work for Big Pharma. Too much of that has led to conflicts of interest, not in the public's interest. The same thing has happened to the CDC. The same thing is happening at FTC. The very people who are trying to regulate us are working with the industry that would hoodwink us if they could get away with it. We shouldn't allow that. We should have a people's commission. I would replace the FDA with people who have no links at all to Big Pharma or in medicine, just educated citizens working with doctors, healthcare practitioners, just completely independent. So there's no conflicts of interest and there's no nonsense and shenanigans going on. That's what we really need so we can get the truth out about healthcare. We need an integrated medical system. I'm not going to throw allopathic medicine out. I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I'm trained in that field, and I realize there's indications where sometimes you need antibiotics, or you might need anti-inflammatory, or you might need surgery. If I had, you know, my office is the base of Wintergreen Ski Resort. If someone comes down off the mountain with a broken leg and the bone's sticking out, I'm not just going to give them a ready send any home. You're going to clean the wound up. You're going to fix the fracture. You're going to sew it up. And then I would give them remedies that will work if they need an antibiotic with the antibiotic. Remedies that help make the bone heal faster, that prevent infection, that reduce pain. So we can use an integrated approach. We don't have to use one or the other. We can use the best of all worlds. That's what I'd like to promote.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we have that, to have that integrative approach, and for our government to support that, and for health insurance to cover these things, and so that people can get the kind of care that they need and we can all work together? Because certainly, I completely agree with you. There's a place for all of us. And I think a lot of this comes from what you're talking about, is being informed. I think that the people who are making the decisions opposing homeopathy or opposing an integrative approach don't have the facts. They don't have the information that they need. And that's why I think those sites that you recommended, the National Center for Homeopathy, for example, I think these are great places for people. I'm a member of that organization. And I think that the more we can become informed, and the more we can share that information with others so that they can be informed, I think we're going to get to a better place. So Dr. Mitch, I want to thank you so much for your information today. We've covered so much, and I really appreciate all that you do for your patients, what you've done for myself and my family, what you do for homeopathy, for the profession, for medicine in general. I want to thank you so much for that and for your interview today.
Thank you so much, Trevor. God bless.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Mitch Fleischer and learned lots about homeopathy. And to learn more about Dr. Fleischer and the resources he mentioned during this interview, just go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with this interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community so you stay up to date on everything that's going on with the Spa Doctor. And if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you get your own customized skin profile. Find out your skin type by going to theskinquiz.com. It's free, just 10 questions, and you find out what might be holding you back from having clear, glowing skin. Theskinquiz.com is where you'll go. Also, my new book is out. You can now get Clean Skin from Within, the book, at your favorite online retailer, and you can get 4 bonus gifts when you go to thespadoctor.com/bookbonus. You'll get 4 bonus gifts that complement your book purchase. You can also join us on social media and join the conversation there. And thanks for joining me today, and I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor Podcast.